The Lord be with you.
And with your
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deeds there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. I think the Lord is trying to teach us something in this gospel today. Because, you see, he went back to his hometown. He went back to his hometown, and he's beginning to teach and preach in the synagogues. And instead of being believed and accepted as he was everywhere else he went, everyone in his hometown just kind of writes him off and dismisses him. They're like, who does he think he is? Where does he pretend to get all of this great wisdom? We know who he is. He's the son of Joseph the carpenter. We know his family members. We know who he is. We know what kind of person he is. And it says here that he was not able to perform any mighty deeds there because of their lack of faith. And it even says at the end here, he was amazed at their lack of faith. And this great line that he says, "A prophet is not without honor except in his native place." Our Lord was so readily dismissed by his own people. And it wasn't so much our Lord being dismissed, it was the message that he was preaching was dismissed. They wrote off his message. They didn't even take the time to consider the value of his message because they just wrote him off. They wrote off the message because of the messenger, right? They didn't even evaluate the message on its own merits, but simply wrote the entire thing off because they thought they knew the messenger, right? And I think our Lord is trying to teach us something in this gospel today as a church. I think he's trying to tell us, perhaps to allow us to not become discouraged as we might otherwise become, when this same thing happens to us. How often is it, brothers and sisters, that the message of the church is so often written off and not even considered because of the messengers? How often does that happen? That because of the sinful messengers that we are, and especially, I preach to myself here more than you, but especially how sinful the members of the hierarchy are. The fact that we are still sinners, and that in our 2,000-year history as a church, we've had plenty of sinners going all the way up to and including the Pope. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm justifying that by no means. And certainly, you know, the ideal would be to have messengers who are holy and upright and living the message that they preach. You know, who can say, "Don't just do as I say, but do as I do," you know, to actually lead by example. Of course, that's the ideal, but the point I'm making, and the point that I think our Lord is making, is that so often people are willing to write off the church's message because of the church's messengers. We see that so often. And we see this happening even in the Old Testament, that first reading we heard from the prophet Ezekiel. The Lord tells Ezekiel, "Look, I am sending you to a people who are known for their rebellion, who often don't listen. I am sending you to them, and whether they heed or resist, our Lord's kind of hinting that they're probably going to resist, but even should they resist, at least they will know, the last line of that first reading, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Our Lord is saying, you know, you still need to preach the message, and it will still convict some people, even if they write you off as the messenger. But we have to ask ourselves, well, why do people do that? You know, I think there are two reasons, perhaps, why. One is because they don't want to change. They don't want to live differently. And they know that if what you're saying is true, then they have to live differently. And they don't want to live differently. They don't want to start doing things that they should be doing and stop doing things that they shouldn't be doing. But I think another reason is because one of the oldest fallacies in reason, one of the oldest fallacies that we still see used today, is the age-old ad hominem, right? When you can't attack the argument, attack the person, right? As if that somehow affects the validity of the argument itself. Just attack the person, right? Don't we continue to see this even to this day? Like our Lord, who was amazed at their lack of faith, I continue to be amazed at the new lows that so often our media sinks to, when they should just be reporting the news. You know, God forbid you just report the news. And instead, it becomes, you know, any opportunity to attack the messenger. You know, when was the last time you read an article or saw a news report on the mainstream media where they were reporting about something having to do with the Catholic Church, you know, where they didn't then throw in some kind of, oh, but who could forget, church is still recovering from, you know, clerical sex abuse scandal, or who could forget this, you know, about the Crusades, or this or that, or whatever. I mean, I, like our Lord, never cease to be amazed at that. But the fact of the matter, brothers and sisters, is, as unfair as that is, and as much as I assume it's going to continue until our Lord comes again in glory, that doesn't affect the truth of the message itself. And it's important to remember that. It's important to point that out to people that, yeah, sure, we have sinners in the church going all the way up to the Pope. And in our 2,000-year history, we have had awful, horrible sinners. But if you use just an ounce of logic, you can see, and you have to point this out to people, and say, that doesn't affect the truth of the message itself. What I am preaching right now, the truth of what I am saying right now, has nothing to do with how holy or unholy or worthy or unworthy or how much of a sinner I am. I could be the worst priest in all of Christendom, right? And the most unholy person there ever was. And that makes me a bad witness, absolutely. But does that affect the truth of what I'm saying? What I'm saying is either true or it's not true, regardless of the messenger. And it's important for us to point that out when we see it. There's a story, Napoleon, when he was going through Europe, conquering Europe, and he had gotten to the Papal States and conquered the Papal States and actually captured the Pope, Pope Pius VII, actually captured the Pope. And the story goes that Napoleon, upon capturing the Pope, and Napoleon, of course, was so anti-Catholic, but Napoleon, upon capturing the Pope, said to him, I am going to destroy your church in less than a year. In under a year, I will destroy your church. And the story goes that the Pope kind of laughed in his face and said, you know, if the popes and bishops and priests and lay people of the church have not been able to do so for 1,800 years, I don't think you're going to be able to in 1 year. And he was right. I mean, so often, we are kind of our own undoing, right? I think, and just to tie in the second reading here, I think what St. Paul says, a thorn in the flesh to keep us humble so that we might not become too elated. I think we as a church experience plenty of those thorns in the flesh. We as a church experience and have in our history plenty of those thorns that are going to be there for a while and that people are going to constantly pick at. You know, because instead of attacking the argument, because so often they can't attack the argument or they don't want to because they know that they're going to be proven wrong, they attack the person, they attack the body of Jesus Christ. But let me just wrap up by saying this. I think it can also get into us subconsciously. I think, and I would encourage all of you perhaps throughout this week maybe, to just personally reflect and say, you know, are there any church teachings that I don't accept and have perhaps come to just write off without my even really intending to do so, but are there, or maybe I have intended to do so, but are there any church teachings that I have just kind of written off on these same grounds? Are there any particular church teachings that I just choose not to accept? Not because I've ever actually engaged in the argument of about the merits of the doctrine itself, but because instead I've kind of fallen into that same trap of, oh, the church doesn't really know what she's talking about on this point because of X, or this pope is wrong because of Y, or are there any things in my own life that I've kind of written off because of the messenger? And instead, I would invite all of us to look at the message itself, to look at the message of the church, and again, to use the logic and to say, you know, the truth of the message has nothing to do with the messenger. And we want good, holy messengers, and we need to pray for our church that not just you as the lay faithful, but as the hierarchy, pray for your priests and pray for the members of the hierarchy that we may be able to be good, holy witnesses, but also to be willing to point that out when we see it, to be able to point out in the world those ad hominem attacks that continue. To say, you know what, you're not attacking the argument, you're attacking the messenger. If you want to attack the argument, great. I will gladly engage in any attack on the argument, on the doctrine itself. But let's try to rid that from the world, and let's try to rid that from our own lives, brothers and sisters, that we can present the truth of the faith, and that we may be good, holy messengers as well.